This is the Mile High Five podcast with Carl Jensen and Doug Cunnington. We have authentic conversations about the journey to Phi, health, happiness, and some very odd tangents. We interview Phi experts, side hustlers, people on their way to Phi, and those who have reached the other side. Join us every week, and if you want the show notes and links and all that other stuff, head over to milehighfi.com.
Hello, world, and hello, Cincinnati. Welcome to the Mile High Fi podcast. I am Carl Jensen with my co-host.
I'm Doug Cunnington.
Doug, where are we right now?
We're in the Fairfield lobby. This is an area where, and I don't know, 12 hours from now or 12 hours ago, it's like a party scene down here, like a bar. And we're in Cincinnati because we're at the Economy Conference. It's currently Sunday afternoon, and we look tired. I got to be honest with you. You know, when I looked in the mirror today, I was like, man, I look like 20 years older. It looks rough. And you look even worse. No, I'm just kidding.
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah. But it's great. It's good weather here. It's actually sunny and pretty nice. And it's been a fun weekend so far.
Yeah, it's been super fun. And today we're going to talk about some of the observations that we have both taken note of here, both in the presentations and with a lot of the attendees that we've talked to, and that is the evolution of the FIRE movement. God, I've been around this whole thing for like 12 years now, and I think it's drastically different. And I think recently it took another turn, which we've heard at least two or three people talk about in their presentations, and we've heard attendees talk about this at all. So we'll get into that a little bit as well. Where should we start, Doug?
I think, you know what, full disclosure, we're still processing some of the thoughts from the talks and like what all those conversations that we've been having, what they all mean. So we're still piecing it together. So I was going to say, like, I don't know where to start. So that was a good way to really waffle around, but that's the real deal. I don't know exactly where to start other than thinking of the first speaker. So it was Alan and Katie Donegan, right?
One of the main things they talked about is they said if you had a lot of worries and anxiety when you had a job, that stuff is going to carry over. It's not like it's all going to disappear. And I was talking to JL Collins recently, and he says something that's very similar. And the basis of that conversation was, and a lot of this came from me, that I thought when I retired, I thought life would be different and a lot better. And then all of a sudden it wasn't. And JL was like, of course it isn't, because money is going to solve money problems. So if you accumulate enough to leave your job, you're not going to have to worry about money anymore. But it doesn't mean anything else you have going on is just going to automatically disappear. It's still going to be there. And now perhaps you have more time to work on it and more time to digest it and pay attention to it, but your life is going to be pretty much the same, except you don't have to have a job anymore.
Yeah, and this gets deep, I think. And we'll continue some of these thoughts in our happiness series, which I think we'll have like a 5 or 6 part series coming up before long. But just to give like a specific example, if you're always stressed out about your job and you're too busy to like catch your breath and you're always stressed out and you're working to hit FI so that you can quit working and then have that stress go away, there's a high likelihood that you're going to just find something else to stress about. And maybe it's even a positive thing. So let's say you're like, oh, I'm going to travel. Like a lot of people want to travel, see more stuff. All of a sudden, you're going to redirect your stress from work into travel. So like whatever it could be, like you're not happy with a hotel or like any little thing that goes wrong in your planning totally derails you. And then you start fretting about all of that, which obviously is like, it's a completely different situation. Now you're essentially complaining and stressing out about leisure activities, which just seems silly. Did you run into that? Like when, cause you stopped working. I mean, you gradually went down, but like, what was it like for you, Carl?
Yeah, absolutely, Doug. I have two thoughts on this and I'll get to my second thought in a moment. But my first thought is exactly what you just said. And I'll back up a second and say that I may not be the most well-adjusted human. I'm kind of a pessimist and kind of the type to worry. So what you just said, Doug, was absolutely true. Instead of worrying about losing my job. That was always my big insecurity thing, the thing I'd worry about, like, oh no, I'm going to get fired or laid off. And then you just find other things to worry about if you have a personality like mine. It's going to transition to, oh, what if the kids don't do this, or what if this other thing happens? And you pretty much feel the same, even though what you're worrying about isn't quite as drastic. Like, losing your job is a terrible thing, and forgetting to pick your kids up from school isn't nearly as bad, or any of the other silly things I worry about. I just threw that out as an example, but I kind of, the baseline happiness pretty much feels the same. And it's at that point you realize that money or lack of a job isn't going to cure anything. You've got some other shit that you have to work on with yourself.
And don't forget the second thing, but I want to give a couple, I'm going to reveal a couple things. So I'm pretty chill most of the time, right?
Most of the time I see you get anxiety over, like, maybe getting places on time and stuff like that. But for the most part,
you're right. Yeah.
You're like 10 or 15% of what I am, I think.
So normally pretty chill and double-edged sword. So the funny thing is I'm very chill, even in very stressful situations. And Elizabeth, my wife, I think she finds it slightly infuriating because it's just like, you're relaxed even now. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on. And in my opinion, that's the best time to be relaxed and not, you know, freak out, because whatever, it's a high stress situation. So double-edged sword, of course. The other part is I do stress about stuff. It is stupid usually. And when we had Thanksgiving together this past year, didn't we? Is that right?
It was sometime, one of these years. Yeah. It might have been. We were drinking.
Super memorable. Yeah, I don't know. So we, I was making a cranberry sauce. I was like, oh, all right, I'm going to make the cranberry sauce. And I made it, and I thought it tasted good. I gave a little to Elizabeth, and she was like, it's a little too much on, like, I put a little cinnamon and nutmeg in there, kind of like they do in the chili at Skyline. Yep. So I put a little bit of that in there, and she was like, it's pretty heavy on that. So I, like, woke up in the middle of the night, like, I'm like, oh no, I need to remake the cranberry sauce. It's like an integral part of the Thanksgiving meal, and we're bringing it to share with some other folks, and I don't want, so I was just like, I got to remake it. So in the morning, I woke up, and I was like, hey, Elizabeth, I think I might need to go to the store and get, like, another couple pounds of cranberries so I can make it a whole new batch. So I was, like, freaking out about, like, this meal, and I mean, it's a cranberry sauce. Nobody really gives a fuck about it. Although I'll tell you, it was a big hit. People loved it. They were like, oh, what'd you do to this thing? It was all gone. People ate it up. So it was kind of like a pumpkin spice cranberry sauce, if I'm going to be honest with you. But did you try any of that? Do you remember it?
Yeah, I did. I've never thought you've made a bad thing. There was one thing you made for the HQ a couple years ago that I thought was a little bit hot. It started to burn my mouth after a while, but it tasted good. And you always come up with really good stuff.
Thank you.
Your tot bar or tot casserole. I don't know. That might have been a different time. Yeah, that was a winner. Like, everyone wiped. You know, you've got a winner when people tear through your dish and everyone else is still there, like half of it's there.
Yeah, that's like a cheat code. Bring tater tots. Like, everyone else worked hard on their dish, and I, like, went to the store on the way there. It's like tater tots, cheese, and sour cream. That's it.
And if you have an air fryer, man, they taste just like they do at the restaurant deep fried. It's magical.
So you had two things, and you told us the first one.
Yes, I'm going to, you know what? I have three tips for people, but first I'll get to that other one. I think, and I don't remember if this came up in a talk, I think it might have, but one thought I've often had is FI can actually make your life worse. Because, and this happened to me as well, because, like, I had a job and we had all this house stuff going on, and I'm still pretty busy, too busy to finish our book apparently, but it's going to be done. I'm going to make our end of March deadline. You heard it here first. I think I'm going to, like, say I can't have any more, like, beer or something I like, and then I'll force myself to do it. But anyway.
Start tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah, start tomorrow, the brewery party tonight. But if all of a sudden you don't have a job and you've got more time on your hands, there's a lot of problems that can be masked. Say you and your partner don't have the greatest relationship and you've got kids. If you've got a full-time job and kids, you're going to see your coworkers and your kids maybe even more than your spouse, especially if they're working. But all of a sudden, if you're not working or one of you isn't working and have more time, there's more time for these problems to surface, and there's more time for you to think about them and ponder them and worry about them before all that time was taken up by a job or whatever that else you have to do. And I think this is a good thing because you're seeing who you really are. I think J.D. Roth said you're laying yourself out bare, or you see your naked self or something like that once you retire. And I think that's great because if these problems are buried underneath a job, that's not good either. You're just suppressing stuff and it's not good for your subconscious. So I think that stuff definitely came up in my life. And the easy example is just we lived in a cluttered environment and that drives me nuts. I can't stand it, but I never really, I guess, let it get to me because just too many other things going on and I might not have been in the house itself that much. But then all of a sudden, no job. I'm done with some of these outside construction things at the HQ or our rental place and I'm home more often and I don't want to be in this environment. And it's always driven me nuts, but now it drives me a lot more nuts. So things like that surfaced. And I guess I probably have a couple others that I could think of, but you got to be careful there. But I think that's a good thing because, yeah, you don't want to mask issues. You want to figure out what they are, deal with them, and get them behind you.
Do you remember like the specific day when you exposed your naked self?
I do it pretty much every day, Doug.
And one other follow-up question. Some people have been asking me over the weekend if you are finished working on the bathrooms. Are you actually done with the bathrooms?
The bathrooms are done. There was a small problem with something I did in the shower that I actually have to fix when I get back. But after that, they'll be done. So I got to redo something.
Okay. So very super close. It's a rework. So it was done, but it was just like some whatever fine work you need to correct.
Yeah, that is. I still have to put some trim in the bathrooms and then it'll be done, but it's super close. The railing guy is coming to install that. I have to do something to prepare for him.
Okay.
And then all the main projects are done. We got to do some landscaping and some other stuff, but that stuff can wait.
It's not urgent. So 2 weeks, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah, sounds right. 2 weeks, plus or minus 2 years.
So do you want to give your three tips? Is that a good time?
I will, but there's one other thing I want to ask you about, Doug. So your partner, Elizabeth, is on the verge of retirement, and I'm super curious to hear about what your life looks like because for the longest time, you've had more free time than her, right? You've been doing your own thing, and I know she went down to – did she go down a non-full-time situation? She was part-time?
Yeah, so she was part-time. She went to 4 days last year. And for part of this year, which has only been a few months, she was down to 3 days-ish. But she has such a strong work ethic that she was working more than that, even though she had approval to only work 3 days.
Okay.
Which is crazy because I was doing 3 days when I didn't have approval. So
it's a thing. You were that efficient.
Yeah. I was super efficient. And so your question is just like, what do I think it might look like where I'm sitting right now?
Yeah. I'm kind of curious to see where she goes and how it affects your relationship. It'll probably change things, hopefully for the better, but you'll definitely be around each other more.
So an interesting thing, I'm curious too. So a lot of people have been asking this weekend, like, oh, what is your wife going to do now? Like, do you have any specific plans? Because obviously, you know, we know that if you retire, you're not just going to sit idle. So initially, like, we do have a trip coming up. It's only a 10-day trip, but that's, I think it's kind of cool because you'll have about 4 days off before we head out. And it will take us out of our normal routine a little bit. A caveat for just the whole situation. So I've worked from home for like a decade or so, roughly. And we have essentially spent most days, most hours together while we're working. Like she worked in the office for, you know, some portion of those years, but like since COVID, so for about 4 years, like she's been working at home like 90% of the time, or 99% of the time. So we're around each other all the time anyway. So luckily we have adjusted, we have figured that portion out. As far as like her day to day, I'm not sure like how it'll look like once some of the smoke clears. We do have a couple other trips coming up. And the good thing is like she does have a handful of hobbies that she'll be able to spend some more time doing. And the other part is she'll need to decompress quite a bit. So she's a lot more high strung than I am. And I've gradually like wound down. So I don't think I was always like this. And you put me in a 9-to-5 job where I have to drive to work in traffic. I was like a completely different person. Like I was stressed out all the time. Traffic sucks. I hate it. You know how much I hate traffic, right? I really drive now. So I don't even have to deal with any of that stuff. The point being, Elizabeth will spend hopefully, you know, a few months just like decompressing. And I've heard from people where they say like, yeah, I just started sleeping like 12 hours a day for like a month or so. Did you were still running hard. So you never had like a hibernation period, did you?
No, I never did that.
Okay. And even still, like you haven't, like you don't sleep a ton, right?
Yeah, I sleep much less than you. I probably don't need as much sleep as you, or maybe that's the lie I tell myself. But
yeah,
I have wound down a lot since I left, just not in the same way as you.
So I'm curious too, because she will have to fill her time, but I don't think, you know, I don't want her to get a job soon just because she's like a little bit bored. And you know, like your house, whatever you say, if I say, hey, you don't get a job, she won't get a job. No, I'm just kidding. She doesn't listen to anything I say. But I want her to like get bored and like have space and not like freak out if she is bored so that she can like work through stuff. And yeah, so it ties into a lot of the stuff that we've talked about. And like, just because you stop working doesn't mean like all your problems are solved then.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe we should put some webcams in your house. Your post-fi, Elizabeth post-fi retirement could be a reality show for a little while.
Yeah, we could set something up like that. I think she'd love that.
Yeah, I'll come in there and manufacture some tension. Like I'll walk into your house and like fart in the kitchen when she's eating lunch or something like that. And touch the dog, I'll get bit, and then yeah, it'll be great.
And I think I need to check with her, but I am pretty sure she's going to come on the show so we can interview her. A lot of people have asked in the past to have her on, but she was always a little nervous with her job to hop on. But I think, you know, when she leaves, we'll be able probably early on to like just check in like within the first week or two. So we'll have to hook that up while everything's still fresh. And of course, we can talk to her anytime.
Yeah, that'd be super cool. Maybe talk to her a week or two after, and then maybe like 6 months down the road.
Yeah.
It is a big transition. Before I get to my 3 points, I was talking to someone this morning, actually. This was, I don't know if you told me about this person, but someone came up to me and said, there is someone here who came here because he wants to meet you, me. And so I met this guy this morning, and super nice guy. His name was Sam. I guess he had followed my blog since like 2013. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, what brings you here? That's an icebreaker. I always ask. And he's like, well, I came here to thank you, and that's it. I'm like, really? You're not going to go to anything else like tonight? He's like, no, I just wanted to talk to you. And that was super nice. But the thing about him, I'm sorry, that was a little ego stroke there. But the thing about him is, I said, what do you struggle with? And he's like, one more year syndrome. I've had enough for a long time, and I can't bring myself to leave. So I just can't do it. And I was telling him, I'm like, well, Sam, you got to think. I think people underappreciate what a big change it is. Like, besides maybe getting married, divorce, having kids, like, that's probably one of the top 5 life changes you'll ever do. Leaving your job, this thing you did for who knows how many decades, for 40 hours a week, 2,000 hours a year, you might have built your identity around this. You've worked hard to build this career, and then all of a sudden, you're just going to stop that. And maybe now that I'm saying that, that's part of the issue. You don't have to think about it as an all or nothing situation. And I wonder if that would be for people like Sam who worry about it. Maybe a mind hack would be, I'm going to leave like for a year, and most people can go back to work. And then if I don't like this, I can just go back, or tell yourself it's temporary. But then when you enjoy Fi life, you leave permanently. But yeah, it's not an easy thing to leave your job, except for you, Doug. I think it was pretty easy for you. Yeah. You were kind of, you did it the right way. You slowly separated.
Yeah. And I mean, it's so interesting. I mean, I was laid off, but I think I slowly like disidentified as like a consultant and a project manager because I didn't care about it too much. And once I started working for myself, like, I was like, ah, I do some marketing and online courses, but I don't identify as that. So as I've shifted, as I've gotten bored with stuff, and some people, like, I've worked in SEO, right? And some people are like, I'm an SEO. I've never said that.
Yeah.
I'm like, ah, I do. I have some of these skills in various areas. You know, I say I'm a podcaster and I do YouTube now, but I mean, it's not like I specifically identify. So it's been easy for me to just like kind of go to one thing to another, and you know, people are happy with the answer. They're like, oh, you do YouTube videos? Like, that's cool. And then, you know, a lot of people don't care, right?
So I think there's a really good tip in there, Doug, for younger people. And I've got a quick story. When I was interviewing for my first job out of computer school, we went to Kraft, like the company who makes cheese and stuff. And there was a bunch of us. They like herded a bunch of people in there. And they're like, we're going to tell you why you should work for Kraft. And the first thing they said is, we have reevaluated all your titles. So you're not going to come in as like a junior programmer anymore. You're going to be in like an assistant to the assistant of the VP's assistant, or just some nonsense like that. So I raised my hand. I'm like, well, I've seen, and there was a couple other things there too, like, and I don't remember what they were, maybe better food. I'm like, well, the title thing is kind of interesting, but have you done anything for pay?
People are, you call me with the big cheese. I don't give a fuck.
Exactly. That's where I'm going with this, Doug. And they're like, that's pretty much the same. Well, maybe they were going to give you a 6-month review instead of waiting a year or something like that. But man, and that's always my attitude. And that's maybe what made it easier for me. I'm like, I don't care what you call me. Just give me as much money as you can and maybe give me interesting stuff to work on so I can tolerate this for as long as I can. But I don't care what you call me. Call me the king shit face, Peckerwood. Just pay me. That's all I care about. If you like me, pay me.
We should get those shirts. What did you say? King shit face Peckerwood?
I think so. Maybe assistant to the king shit face Peckerwood.
Man, yeah. So, I mean, I guess it held me back. And actually, it's a double-edged sword, like all stuff, right? So, when I went through my jobs and career, I didn't do as good of a job because I wasn't like, I am a consultant and I'm really here to help you, like the Bobs from Office Space or whatever, firing like as many people as I can. But it held me back. But also, it made it easy for me to move on to something else because I'm just like, It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You can call me whatever you want. We have a sponsor today, Ghostbed, and our buddy Rich, who we got to hang out with in Economy. It was cool to meet him in person because he's a big supporter of the show. And we've been waiting. You guys got your new bed, and you and Mindy have been testing it out. You were telling me you guys tested it out, right?
We have tested it out. We haven't slept on it. I know where you're going with this, Doug.
Yeah, okay.
We haven't done that, but I have some video that perhaps we can splice into this. It is G-rated. It shows us unboxing the bed and laying on it and having a conversation. It'll be fun. Yeah.
Okay.
Splice it in here.
And you already had the camera mounted on the ceiling, you said, so it was no big deal to get the overhead shot.
Yes, that's right. It's right next to the mirrors and some of the other devices we have in the basement.
So which mattress did you get? Why did you get a mattress? And just kind of expand a little.
Yes. So this is the Ghost Bed Classic. This will be a mattress for our guest bedroom. The reason why we got it is only 7 inches thick and it kind of has to fit into a tight storage area. So it can go in our closet when we don't have guests and can free up space in there. We haven't had the sleeping test, and I know that we're going to have a sleepover, Doug. You're going to come over and we're going to make popcorn, watch movies.
Hallmark movies, I think. Yeah. That's what I was promised.
Yeah, Hallmark movies, whatever you want, Doug. And yeah, we'll put a big demarcation line down the middle, so I want you to keep out of my space. It's only a queen. Like, I sleep on a king usually, so this will be a little bit tighter. I know you like to cuddle at night, but please bring your body pillow for that. I don't want to be your body pillow.
Okay. And you have one, right? You have a body pillow.
I do. I wonder if Ghostbed sells one of those. We should look into that.
Take a look. It's shaped like a ghost. No, yeah. I don't. We need to look. But they do have a full range of products over there. So, quick note, it's a family-owned business with 20 years of experience, or over 20 years of experience. They have 60,000 five-star reviews, and their mattresses are super comfortable. They have a wide range. So if you like the thick ones, or you like the more lower profile, or even an RV mattress, they also have all the accessories, sheets, pillows,
other things you might need in your bed. I don't know. I think that might be Adam and Eve, but they're not sponsoring the show.
Yet.
All right.
And they come in different comfort levels too. Like I prefer a cushier pillow or a cushier mattress, but if stiff is what you want, you can get that as well.
Yeah. I like the stiff ones, I think. And you can get a 101 night at home sleep trial, 20 plus year warranty. And you could save 50% if you go to ghostbed.com/milehighfi with the code milehighfi at checkout.
Cool.
So there's one quote here that we're going to reference it again, but it's such a good one. We're going to talk about it in the happiness series coming up before too long. This is by Jim Carrey, one of my favorite actors. We both love Dumb and Dumber. It's such a stupid movie. And
he should have got an Academy Award for that. I suspect he didn't, but
it's a masterpiece. It holds up. Have you watched it recently?
I have. I watch it like every year. It's great. Very few movies I can do that with, by the way.
It's so good. I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see it's not the answer.
Man, yeah. Where do you go with something like that? I think what that all boils down to is it's a question of external validation, which is being rich and famous and having people know you are, or internal validation, do what you really want to do, which is a lot harder. You got to figure yourself out, and it's not the obvious thing because Instagram tells us and Facebook tells us we need likes. Yeah, I see it in my kids, but I think that's a recipe for the opposite of happiness, actually. I think actually, Doug, we're in a sweet spot, like some nerdy people who we like to talk to, like now want to talk to us, which is great. We've made some great friends as a result of this, but we're not like people aren't stalking us or trying to steal our hair or I don't know. Does that happen? It probably happens.
Not for me. I'll tell you that. It's not the hair that they want to get. So I have a couple comments on this quote as well. And I think I've met a lot of people now through the podcast and coming to events that have retired. And it's not unusual for someone to retire and then hit some level of depression and they have to figure out how to not spiral out of control. And I think what happens, and you hear this with like celebrities who earn a lot of money as well, but basically like to Jim Carrey's quote here, when you're rich and you're famous and you got all the shit that you wanted and you retired early and you're still not happy, then you don't have an excuse now and you know it. And then you're like, oh fuck, there's some other problem. And maybe it's the thing I didn't want to deal with before. And I just like worked a ton. And I thought if I retired and I didn't have work, then it would just go away. But now it's like confronting you and you ran out of excuses.
Yeah, totally true. And then the problem becomes more difficult because the problem is you. You have to acknowledge that and you have to figure out what it is, which isn't always easy.
So, yeah. So what's the answer? We'll solve that in the next, whenever we start the series.
Yeah, stay tuned for the happiness series and we're going to tell you everything you need to know. The real answer to happiness is that there is no answer because if there was, if someone could write a book that was applicable to everyone, they would write it. Everyone would buy the book. Everyone would be happy. And that would be the end. We would all be happy and skipping down the street. But it's different for everyone. So there is no one answer. But we're going to talk about a lot of the framework around it when we get to our series and how I think people can figure out what their version of happiness is.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's start wrapping up the episode here. We have a couple other things going on today, but I don't know. Is there anything specific that you got out of the weekend?
The main thing I got out, and I'll still get to my three things in a second, but the main thing I got out and how we started this episode was the evolution of FI. And I think about it like this. Early on, back in 2013, when I started it, it seemed like it was all about money and it tended to lend itself more to engineering type people who were just focused on numbers. And then you saw it get a little bit more diverse with people figuring out how to do FI with real estate and all these other different things, but maybe it was still about money at that point. And then maybe it evolved to other things. I could blew up even more and people living in camper vans and all that. But now it seems to be circling back around to mental health. Okay, now I've got this money. I might not be super happy like I thought I would. I can do anything I want, but I don't know what that thing is. And a lot of people are realizing, like me, that they have work to do on themselves and they're using the money to help with stuff like that. And I think that was the main message I got from this weekend and from talking to, Alan and Katie and JL. Yeah, people are trying to become the best version of themselves, which isn't really directly related to money. But if you've got the money to buy therapy or take the time to work on yourself a little bit, you can work on becoming that better version of yourself. So I like this direction a lot. I've had some really good conversations, including last night, about people who like, yeah, I've got it all now. But then I realize I don't, because I still have these things I have to work on, and I want to be the best partner I can be to my wife or husband. And it's pretty neat to see people coming around just trying to be good examples. And yeah, I like it.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought it back around, because I forgot the theme of the episode as we were talking. So I'll keep this kind of vague-ish. So I was spending some time with like a fairly prominent figure in like our FIRE community. And the interesting thing is like he has done so much and like influenced and helped so many people. Yet, and he loves like the content that he is creating, but he's getting burned out a little bit. And it's like, he needs to take a little break. And I think he's going to end up taking a little break, but it's interesting because even if, you know, he's self-employed, helping people and like doing an awesome job, like still, like you said, that sort of the mental health, and it's like, okay, what am I trying to do here? Like, he finds it very rewarding and helpful to spread the message and help people. And like, that is validating. But at the same time, he's like, all right, I need to take a step back and have some time for myself, which is pretty interesting. Again, you know, you rewind to when you started, you were trying to hit FI as soon as possible to stop working. And like, that was kind of, I mean, people were like in a little bit of a race, like maybe in an event, like 8 or 10 years ago, right? Would people say, how long did it take you to hit FI? Was it like a little race, a little contest?
I think so. And some people were super crazy, like, I've got this plan to do it in 2 years. And they would always have very specific dates or number of days. Well, that's not, I did the same thing. So super silly, because there's external variables there. But yeah, and you don't hear that kind of talk much anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, very interesting. And it has shifted to, you know, a slow FI movement, or people are looking at coast FI and just like having more flexibility and, you know, maybe going part-time. Actually, we're talking to Kristen, meteorologist Kristen. So she's going down to part-time and going to give it a shot, right? So she still has her sort of identity and she enjoys the work and, you know, in air quotes, predicting the weather, you know, best they can. You know, I know they're trying their hardest in the meteorologist industry. So
it sounds like the natural evolution of FI, Doug. I've got a hot take here. So we went from like fast FI and then slowing down, like coast FI, and I heard someone else say slow FI, and I think there was even another word, but it sounds like it's evolving to a place where we'll just get a job, work at that for 40 or 50 years, and then retire like at 65. Is that, we'll call it job FI or career FI. It's only going to take me 40 years to do it. So I think my parents did it. They were front runners in this whole thing. Man, who knew?
I saw, this could be horrible, but I'm going to try it anyway. So I watch like Instagram reels occasionally, and these guys were they're putting together a plan to rob a bank. So basically they were going to go in there and apply for a job and start working there and then just keep working, and they would have money just deposited into their account like each week. And then in like 40 years, they were going to have like $2 million. And basically, yeah, they just got a job at the bank. And the one guy was like, get the fuck out of here. Like, that is not a robbery plan. Like, you're just getting a job. So yeah, full circle.
Yeah, it's pretty smart.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
All right.
Should I talk about my three things? We could save those for a happiness series too. I don't know. What do you think, Doug? I can go through them quick or not.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
So real quick, this is to help those of you who worry like me a lot. I'll go through these quick. Maybe we'll expound a little bit about them on the happiness episode. But number one, think in worst case scenarios. So in my mind, I'd always have all these worst case things. Like when I worked, what if I get fired and I can't find another job? I'd always think about these things. And then I'd realize that none of them ever happened. But the thing is that even if they did happen, it wouldn't be terrible. I'm sure I would have been able to get another job. Or if X, Y, and Z happened, everything would have been fine. But knowing that you know the worst case scenario and knowing that you can deal with it reduced my anxiety a lot. So that's number one. Number two, this is something I say to my kids all the time because they'll have some drama at school. I'm like, hey, girls, will this matter in a week from now? Will it matter in 3 months from now? And the answer to almost all that is no. And one thing I think about, we had a conversation about someone, Doug, you're telling me about how she had an issue with someone at work, like, a long time ago, decades at work, and she still remembered this and brought it up with you. And I think my response to you was, wow, that's interesting because that person has probably long forgotten it, whoever did them wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she is the only one who remembers it at this time. So even when stuff goes wrong, it's not going to really matter unless you do something really bad and go to prison for a decade. Don't do that. Cocaine phi, is that a version of phi? I talked to someone who knew someone who actually did that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They were on a private plane, and they're like, oh. And the other people were young, and the other people were like, yeah, we're done with work, and we're just living our life of travel. And my friend goes, may I ask you, like, what you did in your life to get to this? Like, yeah, we ran cocaine. And then, but we knew it wasn't a recipe for a long career. So we saved hard and here we are. And now we never have to do that again. And yeah. So
nice.
Anyway.
Yeah. So kids, yeah.
We don't endorse this version of FI, but there you have it. There's a path for everyone.
Yeah.
My third one, and this is something I have to practice every day. And we've had this conversation on the podcast before, Doug, is just trying to force yourself to be positive. Like sometimes I'll see someone doing something, or I don't like a presentation as much as I thought, and I think, should I discuss that with other people? And no, the answer is probably no. So don't be cynical. Don't be angry. Try to give people the benefit of the doubt, and don't even let your brain entertain those thoughts. And if you have to dwell on it, maybe try to turn it into something positive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good. That last one's a good one. I think I'm usually pretty good, but yeah, like sort of your thoughts and words kind of like guide your mood. And if you're like annoyed and, you know, negative about something, like it kind of pushes you in that direction, like for the rest of the day or a few hours. And it's like, do you want to be in a negative mindset or a positive mindset? Yeah. And like, it's just,
yeah,
no, and like complaining or something like that. Like no one really wants to hear like complaining. So,
yeah.
Even yourself, yeah.
It just brings other people down and brings yourself down and puts you in this like bad cycle. And I actually have a fourth bonus, which is something, or a bonus number four, which is something I'm thinking about with us. And that one is don't take yourself too seriously. We were just talking about our jobs and perhaps we didn't care as much as we should. Yeah, if you stop caring like us, how many references to asparagus did we have? Because we talk about asparagus pee on the podcast, but we've kind of become known for that. Like we're the asparagus pee podcasters, APP.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It almost never comes up in any other FI show. And one thing I like is, I think we were talking to JL Collins. You know, he's a good guy. He's smart. And then we start asking him questions about asparagus, start getting him talking about asparagus pee. And like, you know, you just don't hear him talking about it that often. He just rolled with it. I don't know why he answered the question. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yes, I do. It was because in his newest book, one of the people who wrote a piece for it was an asparagus farmer. And then he brought that up like unprompted in a different podcast I did with the Mindy podcast. And I thought he did it because he heard us talking about that goofy stuff. So I think we brought it back around to him and he had no idea that we talked about that, but now he does, and he'll probably never come on the show again. But it was nice having him when we did. We'll send him some
asparagus.
Yeah, nice white asparagus too.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, quick as we're, or any other thoughts on the topic area?
That's all, Doug. I can't wait to get into the happiness series soon.
Awesome. Well, quickly tell us about the Mindy on Money show.
Oh, yeah, that's thanks for mentioning it, Doug. We're going to have you on there soon, whether you like it or not, whether you want to or not. We might just, if you don't want to be on it, we'll just follow you. You are on with a microphone and ask you questions. You'll be like, get away from me. You
it's
know,
like, the stop following me.
Yeah. You know, the restraining order. I don't have to call the cops again. But yeah. Mindy and I started a podcast. We started that on January 1st. And that one, the focus is more of stuff post-fi. So we try to talk to people who are already retired and hear about what their lives are like. Maybe talk a little bit of strategy with how to get there, but that's not our main focus. It's how to live a good life, and money just happens to be a part of that. So mindyonmoney.com if you're interested in that.
And I got to ask, I mean, it sounds like you guys just ripped off our show. So I think our tagline is like post-fi life and lifestyle and happiness. So like, did you just do the same show with Mindy? Oh, like, what's going on? Who's this Mindy chick?
I guess I did subconsciously. Well, she doesn't have hair. And yeah, she kind of looks like you a little bit. So, man, maybe I did. In all seriousness, we try very hard to, sometimes we'll have the same guests, but we try very hard to talk about different things, different topics. And it's more of a short format, too. We try to keep them under 20 minutes. So,
yeah, which one's more fun? With me or with her?
Which podcast? Yeah. This is like picking your favorite kid, I guess.
You don't have to answer. All right. That's cool. So you guys can check it out. You're on YouTube. You're on all the podcast players.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I want to plug something of myself, which that's a weird way to say something.
Wait, you want to plug? Is this those mint suppositories you were talking about last night? Or?
So I have a podcast accelerator that I launched around the same time. So I'm launching a new show, by the way, in the SEO space. And I'm gonna launch the show, and I'm planning on selling it to hopefully a software company or an agency or something like that. But I know a lot of my friends were like, hey, I want to start a show. And actually, people were just asking me about like podcasting. So I was like, hey, I'll put together an accelerator. So a few of our friends, a guy named Jason I know, which you didn't meet him at FinCon, but he signed up. He's going to be launching a show. Our friend Amberly Grant, who does Fin Talks, and a lot of people know her. She's been on many shows. And then Mark Troutman, Mark's Money Mind. So he's actually launched his show, and they were in my accelerator. So I wasn't sure if I was going to run another one or create a course on podcasting, but here, a lot of people have asked me and said, hey, like, can you tell me more about podcasting? So I'll probably run it again. And if people are interested, I'll put a link in the description so you could like get a little more information and then maybe send me a note. And it's like a live cohort, workshops, like live sessions. And I show you exactly our workflow and the training, if you want to do it, if you want to hire someone else to do it. And basically it's like how to launch a podcast, and you have accountability because you're working with a group. And then you're also very driven because you've paid me money. And then you're like, well, if I paid Doug money, I should at least launch the fucking show. So that'll be out there, and people seem to like it.
Yeah, I've got two comments about this. Number one is I've heard really good things from one of those people you mentioned. So I know your show has a lot of value, or your accelerator program has a lot of value. I probably should have just taken it instead of pinging you with millions of questions over text and in person. But the thing I'll say about a podcast is it's simple and complicated all at the same time. There's a lot of moving parts. Like, obviously, you have to be a good speaker, but there's all kinds of technical details too. It's not like a blog where you just go in there, type some words, and then you can edit it pretty easily like a document. With a podcast, you got to be a good talker. You have to have the right equipment, and then you have to have the software and the platform. So there's a lot of moving parts. And I think that's what intimidates people with podcasts. Like, you could be a great speaker, but if you're not comfortable with software and the technical aspects of it, you're either going to have to hire that out or figure it out, which Doug's going to help you do. So I highly recommend doing this. Like, I didn't need any help to stand up a blog. That's pretty easy. But the podcast is much more, and I'm still learning a lot. If you heard some of the early Mindy on Money episodes, you'll know our audio quality was suboptimal, and Doug helped me out with that. So I highly recommend, if you're interested in doing a podcast, get it right from the get-go. Because if you have bad audio on your first couple shows, or you're not getting something else right, maybe you don't know how to work the editing software, you're going to come out with a bad product, and people are going to delete you from their podcast players. So come out from the get-go with the best product you can, and Doug will help you with that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, so we'll link up if people are interested. Maybe I'll run another one, but yeah, it's fun. I love podcasting and all the details and stuff, and it can be a pretty simple process. I mean, I can show people how to record on their phone if that's all they have, but if you want to have, like, we have microphones here that I brought from home, and yeah, it can be a little straightforward or a little more complicated, but yeah, cool. And we'll link up to Mini on Money so people can check that out. And yeah, anything else?
Yeah, just that you know your stuff. Yesterday there was a podcast thing with like 500 people, and I know Doug was helping out with the audio issues even with that, so he's good enough for a major, huge production. He's going to be pretty good for your podcast as well. So,
all right. Thanks, man. And yeah, let's go hit the brewery, huh?
Cool. Let's do it.
Thanks for listening to the show. That was the Mile High Five podcast, and I'm Doug Cunnington, the Balder host, and Carl Jensen is the cool, sexy one. If you dig the show, please do three things for us. Number one, tell a friend, a family member, an enemy about the show. We really don't care who you tell. Maybe forward them a specific show that you know that they will like. It's the single most helpful thing that you can do to spread the word. It's like giving us a virtual high five, and actually we don't give high fives in person, so the virtual kind's pretty good. And more importantly, your friend or family member or even your enemy will appreciate the fact that you were thinking of them. Number two, make sure you're following or subscribed on your podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, YouTube, whatever you're using, and that way you won't miss a show. And number three, please leave us a rating and review. We read them on the show occasionally, and you might hear yours out there on an upcoming episode. Quick disclaimer, this show is not financial or legal advice. I'd actually be surprised if it sounded like it. It's really just for entertainment, and that's at least what we're hoping for. But seriously, get advice from professionals. Carl and I are just two guys with microphones that sit in my basement and talk. So we'll catch y'all next week. Carl, it is day four of the economy conference. How are you feeling?
I am feeling a little bit tired, although better than I have in past economies at this point in time. We've been trying to rein in the partying, although last night I don't think I got in bed till close to 1 a.m. Yeah, you always say to yourself, I'm just going to go down to the lobby. It'll be like 9:30 at night. I'm just going to go down for a minute, and then I'll say bye to everyone, and I'll go to bed. And then like 3 hours later, you're still down in the lobby having a good time. But yeah, life will return to normal when we get back to Longmont. How about you, Doug? How's your economy?
Yeah, I feel a little bit tired too, but we have been doing a better job. And I mean, typically you and Mindy, you're veterans. You've been to a lot of conferences. So, you know, you guys will just duck out. You disappear, but basically. But you hung out a little bit later last night. And the thing is, like, the mistake that I made in years past is like you go hard on the first night and then you're just tired the rest of the time. But yeah, after learning from you, my elder, I see like, yeah, get some rest. Like, so both of us stayed up a little bit later last night, and it was good. Actually, one great thing is we ran out of beer down here. And then what do you do after that? Well, you just get a little tired and you go to bed. So it worked out. I mean, people were disappointed. It's like, oh, we ran out of beer. But really, it's like we were all happy about it. So I went upstairs probably around 1 and read for a few minutes. But I mean, it's hard to fall asleep. Like, you're all amped up from all the conversations you had, you know?
Totally. It is a high energy thing. And a lot of those great conversations take place late at night. So I feel like now it's the afternoon. What time is it? It's like 1:30 here. And we're here by ourselves. But if we were to film here, maybe we could splice something in like it. Well, I guess tonight we're going to be at Rheingeist, which is a brewery. But that place will be nuts. And this place might be nuts after that. But
we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. All right. Cool. Yeah. When we get back to Longmont, we'll actually get some rest. I don't know exactly where to start other than thinking of the first speaker. So it was Alan and Katie Donegan, right? And what was their topic on again? It's been a while. But we have a quote from them early on, right?
Yeah. I think their topic was creating an extraordinary life, but it went into much more detail than that. But their quote was, what is it? What you are? I'm sorry, Ellen and Katie, if you're ever listening to this. It was really, really great. Whatever they said was awesome. Like, wherever you are, there you are. And they said something else. Which
I think we'll have to, we'll put this at the end. It's pretty funny. It's like, usually we could wing it pretty good, but yeah, like once I start laughing, I get a little giggly. Yeah, yeah. So, okay, what's the quote?
Yeah,
we have no idea.